When I ask you, if you will, to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is our second week in a series that we're calling ABC Connect. And ABC Connect is something that's very important for us in the life of our church. And what we're doing during this time is really two things. One, we are celebrating God's vision that He has given for our church family. And we're helping people connect their lives to that vision. And so what we would do for 2 weeks is really just helping you understand why we are going to annoy you the rest of the year with the same phrases and the same words and the same direction. And it's because we believe it is vital for us to know what God desires for our lives and how we are together going to accomplish or live that life. And we're excited. We're excited. Back probably February, March of this past year, I remember having a day. I was outside in the lobby area, and I was greeting people, and I was just kind of thinking through, you know, what we were doing as a church or who we are as a church. And I remember leaving that day and going home a little bit, a little sad. And I couldn't figure out why. I was sad. There was nothing, nothing had happened that was frustrating. Nothing was really, should cause me to be upset in any way. And I realized what it was. And it's that we had entered a season of life. It was about a year and a half or so since we had merged churches. We had this big event that took place, Open Door Baptist Church and Alberta Baptist Church become one church body, and all of this excitement connected to that merger, all of the just grace that was experienced and love that was experienced during that time, and just learning how to become a church body. I had the opportunity of stepping into a role, and Keith had an opportunity of stepping into a role, and took, in fact, it took two of us to take Larry Corder's place. And so, but really, I mean, a big change in my life, going from, really focusing on student ministry to then learning to shepherd a body. It was so much that took place, but that time, roughly March or so, I went home and I realized why I was upset. And it was this, is that it had been some time since I had experienced conviction in the life of the church body. Nobody was upset about anything. No one was really complaining about anything. And in fact, my friends asked me, how are you doing in terms of pastoral ministry? Has it been tough? Has it been this? And to be honest with you, you guys are such a blessing. People are incredibly encouraging to me and to Pastor Keith and to our families and to our staff. People are very encouraging. But there was this point when we realized, man, nobody seems to be upset about anything, and nobody seems to really be excited about anything. I asked a member, I said, can you describe Alberta Baptist Church in a word right now? And he said, and I'm not even kidding, meh. What? And the thing is, to an extent, I understood what he meant. Let me just tell you, it was that experience. I went home and I said, man, Jesus Christ did not die and raise from the grave so that we would be meh. Okay, that's not what he did. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be a part of a church and say, yeah, things are okay. No, you don't want that. And there was just this attitude change that took place in me sometime there in March, and just wanted to really just, like, even in my small conversations with people, even in things that may not have seemed like a big deal, impart just truth to people and encourage people about the work that Jesus Christ himself is doing here at Alberta Baptist Church. Because there is so much to celebrate, so much to be excited about. What an incredible opportunity we have as a church to really revolutionize this city in the power of God. And I see that and I believe that. What a wonderful opportunity. ABC Connect is about this, a celebrating God's vision for our church and connecting people into God's vision for their lives. That's what we're doing. So today, listen, I invite all of you, please, the River Market, 5:00, be there. It's going to be awesome. If you're like, what are we going to be doing? You're going to eat really good food. It's Pastor's Kitchen. Okay, good food. We made like 18 gallons or something of cold brew coffee that is going to rock your face off. Okay, like you're going to be so hyped, you'll never go to bed tonight. And it's going to be fun. We got great music. Oh man, it's going to be a wonderful time. But it's an opportunity for you to get to know this church family. What a blessing you are. Please hear that from me. I know I can speak for Keith as well. We love being your pastors. Today, what I want to do is remind you once again of the church vision that I articulated last week. It's a vision that we believe is God's vision for his church. And it's this, is that we would be a people who, that people will come to know God, find community, and live on mission here at Alberta Baptist Church. And what we mean when we say that, if you're new, if this is your first time here today, listen, what we mean is that you would know God, that you would follow Christ and grow in who he is, what he's done, and who you are or who you can become in him. We want you to find community. We want you to experience grace and find freedom, find a place to belong as you're connected to God's people, connected into his church. We want you to live on mission. We want you to make a difference in this world for the glory of God and for the good of God's people. This message today of this ABC Connect series is about this. It's about helping us move past, or equipping you to move past agreeing with that vision, to take an ownership of it in your own life. Today, the goal is this, is that we would move past agreeing with God's call for our life and taking ownership of it. So let's pray together and then let us dive into Ephesians chapter 4. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would, by your grace and for your glory, that you would give us eyes to see and you give us ears to hear your word today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I've got verses 11 through 16. I actually want to get you to go back just a little bit from that. Start reading with me in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 4. This is the word of our God. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. But listen to this, church, verse 15. But rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What I want to do today is show you a couple things. One, I believe our phrase, move from agreeing to taking ownership, can be found here in Ephesians 4. And the way the phrase looks is this: we're equipping you to grow up into maturity in Christ. We believe taking ownership of the vision and growing up in maturity of Christ are the same thing. And so I want us to look today at a question, and it's, how are we as pastors, how are we as a church body, how are we equipping you to take ownership of the vision? How are we equipping you to grow up in every way into maturity in Christ Jesus? That's what we want to do today. Number one, if you will, take out your worship guide there and look with me at our outline for today. The first thing we want you to see is this: how are we equipping you? By preaching, teaching, and centering ABC on the gospel of Jesus. I know you probably have figured this out, but hear me. You cannot grow apart from the gospel. You cannot grow apart from the gospel. And so when I make that statement, I probably need to clarify something. When we come to God's word and when we come to lead you and equip you, we want to make sure that you understand the difference in morality and the gospel. Now, I know we've talked about this before, even this summer as a church body, but I want to be very clear here that we want to teach something that is different from morality in itself, but yet instead we want to proclaim to you the gospel of Jesus. We do not believe that the gospel of Jesus teaches us that you are all bad people and in the gospel you are now good. That is not what we believe. What we believe is much deeper than that. The good news of Jesus, which is the gospel, is that in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, we who are dead become alive in Christ. That's the gospel message that we proclaim. Morality gives you an opportunity to say, well, I'm good and the person next to me is not as good as I am. The gospel of Jesus says you're just as depraved as the person next to you. And in Christ Jesus, you are just as valued and loved in Christ Jesus as anyone else in this room. The gospel brings us together. Morality can set us apart for the wrong reasons. And so when we talk about the gospel of Jesus, I want to make sure you understand what we mean. And so I'm going to give you a description of this. We're talking about the power of Jesus Christ that can take someone that's dead and make us alive. A person that was blind spiritually now is given eyes to see. It's that I was naked and now I'm clothed in the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ alone. It's that I was poor, and now in Christ Jesus, I'm eternally rich. It's that I was an enemy of God, and now I'm a son, welcome to sit at his table. It's that I was under wrath, and now I am living in grace and freedom. I was a slave to sin, now I'm free in Christ, a redeemed son of God. See, by faith in the resurrected Christ, by faith in the gospel of Jesus, I'm forgiven, I'm accepted, and I'm loved. I'm safe in Christ. That's the gospel that we proclaim. We believe this gospel is found from Genesis to the maps. Okay, like, if you don't get that, Genesis to Revelation. We believe that every story whispers Jesus' name. We believe that the capital H hero of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And we see him from cover to cover. We believe that the gospel is to be proclaimed and preached. That's why we preach through books of the Bible. That's why we encourage our staff that leads ministries. We want them to teach you God's word and empower you by God's word and proclaim to you what can bring you life. What alone can bring you life, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're equipping you here to take ownership of the vision by preaching to you the gospel of Jesus. We believe that when we understand these two truths, this is a Tim Keller special here, we believe that we're so bad that Christ Jesus died in our place. But yet in the same place on the cross, we believe that we are so loved that Jesus Christ died in our place. My sin is so ugly, Jesus died, but I am so loved and favored, Jesus died in my place. To the extent that I understand this, that to the extent that I grasp the good news of Jesus and I'm able to see the depths of his love for me will be the extent that I take ownership of the call that he has given me for my life. That's why we preach the gospel. Please know that at Alberta Baptist Church, we will proclaim the gospel of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We want you to be compelled or controlled by love. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We don't want you to be compelled by guilt. We don't want you to be compelled by anything except for the love of Jesus. And we believe that comes through preaching God's word by proclaiming the gospel of Christ. So the first thing we're doing to equip you is we preach the gospel. Number two, how are we equipping you to take ownership of the vision? By consistently communicating and structuring around your call to gospel community. And I want to clarify, your call to, and we believe your need for, gospel community. There are several phrases that I would imagine that at some point you're like, Colby, I wish you would stop saying that. You know, like, can you please get a different phrase? Can you please move on from that thing? And I'm going to tell you, no, I'm not. I won't move on from it, but the main phrase that I know gets some of you is this. Listen, we want you to move from rows to what? To circles. Okay. And we want you to move from circles to what? Community. That's right. Okay. I want to clarify, when we talk about gospel community, that's a phrase that you can just get lost in. When we talk about gospel community, we're talking about you connected to a group of people. That is the church, okay? Like, this is a community. I want to make sure you understand. We're a community here. You can find community here in this room. I'm sure you have to many degrees. Like, you can meet God's people here, be encouraged and spurred on by God's people here. But we want you to move from these rows into circles so that people can know your name, know who you are, be able to look you in the eyes and encourage you with God's word, people to know how to pray for you and you be able to pray for someone else. We want to move you from rows to circles. When we do these things, like love one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, when we do these things, we move from being just a circle to being a community, being unified in something, being unified in the gospel message that we're preaching. We want you to experience gospel community. This whole summer, we spent looking at one another statements in Scripture, and so I'll remind you of some of those. We looked at how we are to love one another. That's kind of the overarching love one another command. Underneath that, well, ways that we love one another, bear one another's burdens, bear with one another, fellowship with one another, encourage one another, be kind to one another, confess your sins, and pray for one another. We looked at these this summer, and the reason why is because we believe for you to be equipped to take ownership of the vision, for you to be equipped to do the work of ministry, for you to be equipped to build up the body of Christ, for you to grow up into maturity in Jesus, we believe you can't do that apart from the gospel, and you cannot rightly do that apart from community with God's people. We want to encourage you until we are blue in the face to connect to this body, connect to each other. I want to give you several reasons or several examples of what gospel community leads to. If you will, look with me at your outline. I believe gospel community leads to friendship. I mean, there may be somebody in the room today that you're like, man, I really just don't want a friend. And if that's you, you're lying to yourself. Like, you do want a friend. In fact, oftentimes I think we want friends maybe a little too much. Maybe we make it even an idol out of making friends. But you long for friends. You check to see how many people are following you on Facebook, and you think too much about that. And you want people to know you and love you and care for you. You want people to laugh with you. How many of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you have just laughed this week with a friend? I mean, like, we need to laugh more. We need to have fun together. We need to have people that we connect to. And listen, I believe that gospel community will many times, oftentimes, probably every time, lead to great friendships. We have another phrase that we like to use. We really believe that better friends will make a better church. I mean, if everybody's buddies, it really does make a big difference. Now, here's the thing I need to make sure I'm communicating to you, because I get a lot of feedback on this phrase. I understand that you will not be equally friends with every person in this room. If you are, you've got major skills, okay? Like, you can't be the same amount of friend with 400 people. But let me tell you, if you are connected into community groups here at Alberta Baptist, and the primary one that I'm talking about here that really leads to, or we believe encourages this thing that we're calling gospel community, is our life groups, ABC life groups. Now, there's many ways that you can. If you were in a Sunday school class this morning, I can assure you that's a great place to find community. But the environment that most leads to this openness that we're talking about here, this gospel community where people are able to know where you are and encourage your walk with Jesus, is our life groups. And look, if you're in a life group with people, you're probably going to be better friends with some people than you are with the people that sit just on the other side of the worship center from you. I mean, like, that makes sense. It doesn't mean that we're clicking up or anything like that. Like, I have people that I'm better friends with than some of you. It doesn't mean I'm part of cliques. Like, you just have friends. And so we need to wipe that from our vocabulary, that word clique. Like, let's get rid of that. Let's talk about community. And if we're in a place where we're being encouraged by God's word through God's people, that's what we want to see happen. We believe that gospel community leads to friendships. Invest enough to make friends here. Secondly, we believe that gospel community leads to discipleship. I want to explain to you what I mean here. The first probably 7 or 8 years that I attempted and by God's grace was able to be a pastor, a minister with students, I had my way of thinking through what discipleship was looked like this. It looked like one-on-ones and one-on-few. Okay, now let me explain what I mean. A lot of times we've thought about discipleship in terms of what really could be called mentoring. And so it's like, you know, me and Jared would sit across from each other. He would say, hey, can you meet with me? And I would meet with Jared, and we would talk through scripture, and I would desire to build him up and him build me up. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But that's what we would call one-on-one. I think that's needed and necessary. But that was one. The next is like one-on-a-few. And this is what looks like classes. This can be your Sunday school class. This could be something that we're doing, like last month we did a Bible doctrine class on Wednesday nights. That's one on a few. And during this time, there's certainly discipleship that takes place, or us moving into the likeness of Jesus. That definitely takes place in one-on-ones, and it takes place on one on a few. There's also one on many, which is what we're doing right now. You've got me. I've got God's word. We're working through a text here, and we're being encouraged in Christ's likeness. That is discipleship. But so far, what we've seen are three ways: one-on-one, one-on-a-few, one-on-many. I want to give you another one that I believe we see in gospel community, and it's this. It's what we studied all summer: one another. One another. This is where there's not the pressure of one person to necessarily impart. You have a group of people who are invested in each other's lives. See, what happens when you have a group that you express a need to and someone bears your burden? What happens when you have a group of people who are praying for you? What happens when you have a people that find out about a need and they care for you? What happens when you're able to serve a family that you're connected to? What happens when you're able to speak truth across the room to each other, and it's something that not one person's doing, it's something that everybody is invited in to do? That is, I believe, the clearest way that discipleship takes place in gospel community. I also believe that is the most appropriate way to reproduce. That can go from here to the ends of the earth. Some of our structures on how we are set up otherwise might not can. But listen, we need gospel community. We need to be connected to people who will encourage us in our walk with Jesus and push us to mission. We need to be, as Hebrews 10 says, be spurred on to love and good works as we are in community with one another. And so this is not some hype, you know, phrase like gospel community, missional community. It's not like that. This is what we believe. This is biblical, right and good. We believe these are people that believe the gospel coming together to live it out. Okay? We want you to be a part of gospel community. One huge encouragement for me would be this. This year, connect your life to a life group. Connect your family to a life group. Invest. Invest. We believe that gospel community, that in it we will also experience, see their grace. We'll experience grace. Being connected to one another brings much opportunity to experience God's grace and to extend God's grace. If you get to know any group of people here, you can get the best of us, the worst of us. You can get pull us all together. Listen, when it comes down to it, we're pretty dysfunctional. Like, you get us together and you'll find out, oh man, they struggle as much as I do. This is a tough crew that Jesus has rescued here. Like, yeah, like that's what you find out. It doesn't matter who you are. If you evaluate deep into your heart, you know that's you. I know it's me. But when we're in gospel community, when we're believing the gospel of Christ together, man, we're able and empowered to show grace, to extend grace and experience it in our own life with God's people. The church of all people should be the most forgiving, welcoming, and loving community on the planet. Let people experience that kind of grace, the grace of God through his people here. We believe that gospel community leads to freedom. Leads to freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free." I believe much of this freedom is experienced as Christ shows his grace and his kindness through the love of his people. Man, I'll share a story the other day. I find much freedom in the Lord through the fellowship here at Alberta Baptist. I'd been gone for a couple of weeks and came here, you know, and I did the welcome. I think it was last week or the week 2 weeks ago, and came up and just welcomed everybody and was just so glad to be here. And when we were leaving, Matt Richardson, who is certainly a friend and brother, he came to me, hugged me, and he said, "Man, it just felt like home hearing your voice. Like, I missed you." And just knowing that my buddy missed me, I mean, like, brought so much just comfort to my heart and really helps me just in freedom in Christ. Like I have people here that love me. They're not constantly judging me. They love me. They love my family. They're an encouragement to me. And I know so many of you, that's your story here at Alberta Baptist Church, connected to God's people. May people experience life, love, and freedom when they're connected to this church family. I believe there's a lot of freedom that comes in gospel community when something like this happens. When we see that we're not the only one that struggles with fill in the blank. I talk to person after person, and listen, they'll say something like this. They'll say, "Man, I want to connect, but I'm really just struggling with, you know, this certain thing. I want to connect, but I just don't know if I'm really at a place where I can yet. I want to serve, but I just don't know. If you knew this about me, I want you to know, if you will express that, you'll find out that probably about everyone in the room is thinking about the same thing. It's amazing what happens when we experience true gospel community. We don't find out that everybody's just nailing life. We find out that everybody feels like they're messing it up. together. Let's be raised up together. Let's be built up in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let's serve as one. Find freedom in community. I believe you'll experience joy. And let me explain what I mean when I say joy. I believe joy coming from the opportunity to serve people. Many Baptist churches have kind of ran into this wall over the years. And I believe that we certainly did not escape this. But where people equated serving the Lord with being on a committee. Okay, now this does not mean you don't serve on committees. In fact, we just had a meeting. And yes, for you that for some reason think this is funny, we met with committee on committees this past week. I say that and people are like, committee on what? It's a great committee. Okay, we met together and we helped people. We prayed through, we're working through getting people connected in ways to serve in the church. But listen, serving the body of Christ does not end with being on a committee or on a team. We want to lead you away from thinking that way and more this, to see that serving in the body looks like all of those one another statements we studied all summer. No one should have an excuse to say, well, nobody's asked me to serve. Nobody's asked me to do this. We are communicating to you, if you want to be equipped to grow up in Christ, you'll do that in community. When you're in community, you have no excuse about using your gifts or serving a brother or sister. They're next to you. Like, you want to know how to serve? Serve the people in front of you. Serve the people around you. Be a blessing in the groups that you're in. Everyone will find a way to use their gifts that God's given them and serve one another. The reason why we read those first couple of verses there in Ephesians, I wanted you to see all that talk about the one who descended is the one who ascended. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ ascended. He rose from the grave. He went to the right hand of the Father. And when he did, he gave gifts. And we saw that earlier there in Ephesians. And he not only gave gifts to his people, he also gave leadership to the church. And he gave leadership to the church, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the shepherds. He gave them to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. To teach you to use your gifts to serve and to build up the body of Christ into maturity. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. We started here in January. We were talking about, you know, being equipped to use our gifts. The Lord's made it so much more clear in these few months. How to say this? We want you to be equipped to serve and build up one another. So much joy will come from that. And so much joy comes from experiencing being blessed by your people. Well, I'm going to give you a few questions, and I want you to think about what happens, the joy that comes when you see these met. Do you feel needed? What happens when you see, I have a role here. I'm a part of the membership here. I'm a part of the body. You have joy. Do you feel wanted? Man, what about when you realize, like, people actually like me? Like, they actually notice when I'm not here. They actually notice when my part of the body's not functioning. It's biblical. Like, joy comes from knowing that you were needed and wanted. Do you know what it feels like to be known? Like, people know where you are and they still love you? Like, isn't that how it is with the Lord? Like, he knows me, but yet he still loves me. That's how it should be with God's people. And the joy that comes from that. Do you feel loved and cared for? Do you feel accepted here? Do you feel prayed for? We believe that happens in gospel community. And joy will come from that. Lastly, there on gospel community, we believe that we'll see fruit. I believe you'll see fruit and experience the fruit of the Spirit. What is what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Listen, you will see that if you connect yourself to this body. You'll see that in the lives of God's people, because we have a God who has shown us all of that in our lives. We have a God who has loved us, therefore we love. We have a God who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross so that we might be a people of joy. We have a God who, he was broken for us that we might have his peace. And listen, all of, we can just keep going on. These are seen in the lives of people who believe and who live that out together. You'll experience fruit. Point is, we are equipping you to grow up in Christ Jesus here by consistently communicating and structuring around your call to and need for gospel community. Lastly, I want you to see, and you see the point there, where there it is. You see, we believe that gospel community leads to mission. And so we're going to let that just come on into that last point of the day of how we're equipping you. But the reason why I want to bring this up is this. Gospel community doesn't end with friendship. You can have friends at your gym. Like, we want you to. You can have friends anywhere. Like, we're about to experience football season. Anybody that comes over to my house and is a Bama fan, we'll be friends. All right? So, you can experience friendship, okay? But gospel community doesn't end with friendship. Gospel community, as Kyle said earlier, it doesn't end with us. Gospel community is for something even greater, and it's for God's glory in the whole world, on all of the earth. We believe that when we gather together, we believe that when we love one another, that we are reflecting the light and the love of Jesus to the world. And so what we exist for, we believe, is something greater than ourselves, and it's for a mission, it's for a ministry to go to all of the world. We believe that these are seen most clearly in two passages, and so I'm going to read them for you. The first one is this, the Great Commission. What we already read today, but Jesus calling us and sending us out. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Lord is with us as we go out on our call to make disciples, to teach people who Christ is, what he's done, and how to follow him, who they can become in Christ Jesus in their life, who they are in him. That's what we're proclaiming to the world. Matthew 22, the great commandment. Jesus was asked a question, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And in verse 37 of chapter 22, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Listen, at ABC, here's what we want to see. We want to see your God-given passions, talents, and gifts intersect with your God-given call as a disciple of Christ Jesus. We'll say it one more time. We want to see you as the membership here. We want to see you, your God-given passions, talents, and gifts intersect with your God-given call as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We don't believe that the only people that matter are pastors and missionaries. We're all about the membership here of the church body, taking ownership of the call to your life as a business person, as a businessman or woman, as a teacher, as a nurse, as a doctor. No matter what it is that you are doing, we want you to see what you're doing through the lens of the Great Commission, through the Great Commandment. So I'm going to give you two final questions for today. And Jennifer, I'll ask you. You go ahead and come up here as I'm giving these questions. But these are questions for us to ask, and every person in the room. How can I, as an individual, lead people in my life to know God, find community, and live on mission? That's the first question. As an individual, I'm asking this for myself. I'm asking this for my family. I'm thinking about where I work. I'm thinking about what my hobbies are, what I like to do, the places that I frequent. I'm thinking about this, and I'm asking, how can I help people know God, find community, and live on mission? The second question is this, and it's one that has to enter into all of our structures here at Alberta Baptist Church. Said last week that the vision of ABC heavily outweighs the structures of ABC. Well, this is how what I mean by that in application. How can we as a life group, as a Sunday school class, or any ministry of Alberta Baptist Church lead people to come to know God, find community, and live on mission? It will be in these things, if we begin to think this way, if we begin to see the need for the gospel of Jesus, the gospel, not just what we believe and come to faith, it's the gospel that we believe and grow. The need for the gospel, the need for gospel community, to be connected to God's people, being encouraged through His word. And lastly, to be connected to His mission. And this is going to be us taking ownership of the vision, not just agreeing with it and thinking it's cute. Take ownership with it, with your life. Grow up into maturity in Christ Jesus. Oh, what the Lord will do when we do that. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for...